can a CFI train you if they don't have a medical? Can I use my 3 hours of instrument training during my private pilot certificate towards the 40 hours needed for instrument rating? And the answer is, there are a lot of DPEs that will just ignore regulations and ignore these types of things. So you really need to have conversations with these DPs prior. And I would even urge you, hand this to them. Like, hand them the LOI.
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com and let us be your co-pilot on this adventure.
Welcome back, everybody, to another awesome and, of course, amazing episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have a special topic today. Let's talk about something that a lot of people kind of have questions on, and that is what's called a LOI or...
Letter of Intent.
Letter of Interpretation.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you know, you said a lot of people have questions on it, and I think that's funny because questions are what sparks the letter of interpretation.
Big time. So tell us what a letter of interpretation is for all of those student pilots who have never heard of an LOI in aviation.
Yeah, so it's a formal response from the FAA's Office of Chief Counsel. It explains how regulations should be interpreted in a very specific situation. And sometimes, you know, aviation rules can be a little vague or open to some different meanings. So when pilots or instructors or organizations have, you know, some sort of questions about what a rule really means, they can ask the FAA for clarification. And the FAA issues an LOI to help explain their official view. So while the letters are really helpful for understanding the rules, what's the key point about it?
They're not enforceable laws. They're more like a strong guidance kind of based on how the FAA currently reads the regulation. By the way, currently reads the regulation. So why is this important for pilots, especially student pilots? For a bunch of reasons, actually. There have been letters of interpretations on, and we'll get into some examples of some in a little bit. But the problem is, technically, FAA rules are not necessarily law, which sounds really confusing.
That'll really throw you for a loop, huh?
Yeah, they're regulations, not necessarily law. Now, sometimes there are laws that go with regulations, but it depends on what they are. We're not going to get into that today because we're going to stick with the letter interpretation. But Carson, why does the FAA create these letters?
Yeah, the FAA creates the letters to clarify something that we have questions about. I know it sounds a little bit broad, but you have a question about, oh man, there was one that we had at the flight school. Was it solo?
I don't know. I've also had one where does class E end? And I should probably ask for a letter of interpretation on that one.
I remember you asking about that one.
I still think it's outer space.
Yeah, that was a conversation.
Where does outer space start at is really the question. And depending on who you ask, it's a different answer. Ask NASA,
Space agency has to have that kind of answer, right?
Sometimes. But what happens if you're in over somebody else's airspace? Space.
Well, anyway, pilots can use letters of interpretation to your decision-making. And they're just really good resources. It's not legally binding like a regulation, but it's really important to cross-check what the actual regulation text is, make sure everything makes sense to you. And I think it's a really good guideline. It's how the FAA reads it. And if anything actually comes up from it, it's a good place to start.
So let's dig into some examples because us just talking about what an LOI is, it's kind of foolish for at least the people that have never actually seen one. So here's one, for example, logging PIC time while a CFI is on board. So there's several FAA LOIs that clarify when a student or private pilot can log PIC or pilot in command time while a CFI is present. Here's an example of summary on one. A private pilot can log PIC time if they are the sole manipulator of the controls of an aircraft for which they are rated, even when receiving instruction, as long as the instructor isn't acting as PIC. So why is this useful per se? Many students ask, can I log PIC time during dual instruction? This LOI helps them understand when that is allowed. So here's a question, Carson. If you and I are flying together and we are flying in the clouds, and I am a CFII. Are you allowed to log PIC time while we are in the clouds? And then the question is, when we are not in the clouds, are you allowed to log PIC time?
Well, judging by this LOI in particular, I want to say yes, I can log PIC for the entire thing. Because as long as I'm the sole manipulator that controls.
See, here's where it gets confusing. You are not a rated pilot to fly into the clouds.
Even though I'm rated for the airplane?
Yes.
Really?
My guess is you are correct. You can log PIC time for the entirety of the flight. And so can the CFII.
So you guys can both log PIC?
Correct.
Interesting. I remember that being a pretty big discussion when students were renting and then splitting time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They're like, can we both log PIC?
And as a safety pilot, can you both log PIC time as a safety pilot? And is there an LOI for that?
I'm sure there is. So I know that you can log PIC time as a safety pilot.
By the way, there's DPEs that try to say that you can't do this. So FAR 6151 says you can log PIC time when you're acting as pilot command when more than one pilot is required.
Mm.
But that's only if you have an SIC. Now, here's a quick question. Can you log SIC time in a Cessna 172, Carson?
No, because it's not required.
Explain what you mean by that.
The 172 is rated for single pilot use. So there's no need for a second in command.
Compared to
a Gulfstream?
Correct. That is 100% correct.
Well, I'm glad I can interpret that correctly.
You did.
The whole reason for these LOIs is because the FAA does the best they can, but they can't make every single regulation, 10 paragraphs long just to explain everything they mean by it. So it gets a little bit difficult.
All right. So can a CFI train you if they don't have a medical?
But they have their CFI.
Maybe they had a medical a long time ago, or maybe the medical expired.
Interesting. Well, thankfully, there is some context for us. So the LOI context clarifies that a pilot without a valid medical cannot act as PIC, even if a CFI is on board and technically acting as PIC. Here's where it gets fun. Even if a CFI is on board, a student or pilot must hold a valid medical to manipulate the controls unless otherwise permitted, with examples of basic med or glider operations.
Okay. So if I am a CFI and I have no medical, by the way, I am a CFI and I do have medical right now, although I think I only have third class privileges at this very moment. I have to double check. And let's just say I didn't have it and you want to go do some flight training, Carson.
Okay. So in this scenario, the CFI would not have to have their medical as long as the private pilot or above does have their medical.
Correct. So if you are not a private pilot, i.e. a student pilot, then you would need the medical. You would have to have a medical to be able to be PIC in that airplane because the student is not PIC because they are not a rated pilot in that aircraft.
So or a CFI without a medical cannot fly with a student pilot, even if the student pilot has medical then.
A CFI without a medical cannot fly with a student pilot, period.
Man, I'm good.
Okay, gets better. Let's say I'm a CFII, which I am, and I don't have a medical. And you want to go fly in the clouds today. Although I have everything else is all up to date, but I have no medical today. How would we go accomplish that flight when we go fly in the clouds?
Well, using the same logic as that first scenario we had, I wouldn't be able to do it.
You could not fly today because you are not a rated pilot to go fly in the clouds. Carson looks so happy right now.
I am so proud of myself. I am on a roll. Give me another one.
Let's see. Well, I wanted to look up a real life example that we can kind of go look at, right? So there is a letter of interpretation that was issued on May 21st, 2009 to Jason Herman. And this one actually had to do with logging PIC time under 14 CFR 6151 Echo. That was really kind of tiny, and the FAA uses terrible fonts on their stuff, on their letters. So the question is, if you are rated in an airplane, let's just say you are single engine land, and it is a complex aircraft.
Okay.
So let's just say it is a... I don't know. What's a good complex aircraft that we can pick out today, Carson?
An Aero.
Let's just say it's a Piper Aero, which you need a complex endorsement to fly the aircraft as PIC, right?
Yep.
Well, this letter of interpretation states that you can log the time as PIC, but you cannot fly the aircraft as PIC without the endorsement.
So I can log the time, but not fly the plane.
Correct. Doesn't that make a lot of sense?
No, of course it does.
Because there's a distinction between logging PIC time and acting as a PIC.
Then what would the point be of logging the time if you're not logging the time, you're acting as it?
I don't know, to meet some regulations for you to get a new pilot certificate because you might need some certain amount of PIC time.
Interesting. Some of these things seem so backwards to me.
This is backwards. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I've actually gotten to a bunch of arguments with a bunch of CFIs when I used to run my school about this very legal interpretation.
Interesting. And is that why it stuck out to you?
It did. It stuck out to me. And I used to actually be on the other side of this. I was like, no, you can't go log PIC time. And if I go back in my logbook, I will guarantee you I did not log PIC time.
So you lost out on some hours there?
I lost out on some PIC hours, I guess.
Well, we're trying to do things the right way. So in all things, it's better safe than sorry.
Correct. So I'm just missing time out of my logbook now.
Interesting. How many hours do you have?
I don't know, over 2,000. I don't know. I log for what's necessary to maintain currency.
I know. You're not good at logging every single flight.
No. I don't even know the last. Well, I know the last time I logged a flight, and I logged a flight in the 182, and I logged a flight in the Duchess, and I logged a flight in.
So sign outs and currencies?
Yeah, exactly. That's really all I've been logging flights in. But that's a really, really interesting one. And I thought that everybody would like to hear that one. All right. Got another one for you, Carson.
Tell them about it.
All right. February 24th, 2016. Little bit more recent on this letter of interpretation. The question is, for example, you have your private pilot certificate, correct?
I do.
Okay. And how much hood time did you have to do on your private pilot certificate?
5 hours?
3 hours. You had to do 3 hours, Carson.
I definitely did more.
You probably
had some actual time too.
Oh, nice. But you had to do 3 hours minimum, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you obviously accomplished that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be, have a private pilot certificate
I
today.
I would not be here in the seat, correct?
Correct. So what this is stating, it says, do you know how many hours you need for the instrument rating?
Of hood time?
Hood time or actual.
Isn't it like?
It's 40. 40? 40 hours. You need 40 hours. And you need 15 of that time with a CFII. Okay. So the question on this LOI is, can I use my 3 hours of instrument training during my private pilot certificate
towards
the 40 hours needed for instrument rating? And the answer is
yes.
Yes. The answer is absolutely yes, you can. By the way, this is also something I did not do. I thought they were exclusive of each other. So I got 40 hours plus the three.
So if you're getting your instrument rating and just, you know, say you're like me and you put it off forever and you've flown with buddies, you've flown with instructors and you've got like 25 hours. And then you get your private pilot. Can you put all 25 hours of that towards your instrument?
Yes.
Nice. So just saying, by the time you have your check ride, you have to have a minimum of 40 hours in your life of hood time.
Correct. Minimum 40 hours. And you can, this means you could use the time from the original private pilot time.
Yeah, that's helpful.
And gets better. Nice. Because you, on your instrument rating, you have to have 15 hours of CFII time. If a CFII actually provided that training for you at the time of your private pilot certificate, it can actually count towards those 15 hours.
Nice. That's even better.
It is even better.
All right. FAA is actually saving you money.
FAA saves money every once in a while. Thanks. Thanks so much, FAA. Except for there are a lot of DPEs that will just ignore regulations and ignore these types of things. So you really need to have conversations with these DPs prior. And I would even urge you, hand this to them, like hand them the LOI,
yeah.
Right? Look it up and hand them the LOI.
It is crazy the amount of personal investigation work you have to do for these though.
It's a lot. I mean, these were actually not easy for us to find. We actually asked our producer, Mark, to look them up and he found some examples, but he didn't give us the actual examples. We decided we'd look up a few of them and kind of talk about those in addition, right? So here is another one. Do you need a parachute, Carson? Oh, by the way, this is February 15th, 2018. Spartan College asked for this one. Do you need a parachute to do spin training to become a CFI?
Well, I did mine without a parachute, so I'm assuming the answer is a firm no.
It is a firm no. So 91307 Delta is a pertinent part that provides that paragraph, Charlie, does not apply to spins and other flight maneuvers required by the regulations for any certificate or rating when given by a certificated flight instructor.
But I remember it was over a certain degree of bank you had to have a parachute.
It's over 60 degrees of bank relative to the horizon.
Okay. So if I'm going to spin...
30 degrees of pitch up or pitch down relative to the horizon.
So everything but a spin counts for that?
Correct. Yep. That's what this is saying. Interesting, interesting, interesting.
So you do need a parachute to jump out of a perfectly good working airplane.
You don't need one. But but if you want to live, if you want to do it again, you'll want one. All right. With that being said, I think we've beat this quite a bit up today. We might actually go through some more of these in the future. Yeah, I think
really interesting.
They even have some that have been given and then rescinded. And I think those would be interesting to go over as well.
Yeah. You can also check the pending ones too.
There are pending ones. Yeah, yes.
You can see the long list, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Perfect. So if you ever want a letter of interpretation, all you have to do is request one from the FAA. You could go to your FISDO, send them an email, and request a letter of interpretation.
Can they deny the request?
They can. They'll send you a letter stating that there's already an interpretation on this or that they need to go through the proper channels or whatever it may be. And sometimes you get a response and sometimes you won't.
Does the FISDO actually respond to emails?
Oh, yeah. FISDO has to. Government agency has to respond to you.
Oh, that's nice.
Except I know that some FISDOs, they just act like they did. Ones that I don't get along with quite well. Oh, there's only really one I don't really get along with quite well
anymore.
You
have FISDOs you do and don't get along with?
Just one.
Oh, tell me about it later.
I can tell you about it later. I mean, I get along with most of the people there. Just one person interprets regulations the way that they want to interpret them. And then I ask for a letter of interpretation, so my emails go unanswered. So.
Oh, I know the guy you're talking about.
Yeah, I know the guy about too. I won't name his name, but if you're listening.
You know who you are.
Thank you so much for the wonderful times we've spent together. I'm no longer assistant chief anymore, so.
You have full freedom.
And I'm not even in part of your FISDO any longer. To be honest, I'm in a new FISDO, which I respect immensely. So I'm very happy to be at a new FISDO now. Outside of all of that, thank you so much for listening to us. We really appreciate it. If you would like to reach out to us via our emails, brandon@aviationmentors.com, carson@aviationmentors.com, or for our producer, Mark, it's producer@aviationmentors.com. We really appreciate you listening. Don't forget to hit like, follow, subscribe, share, all the things you're supposed to do on social media. It really helps us grow the aviation community and, of course, helps you.
It does. Thank you, everyone. And as wrap up for the day, remember, here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride.
See you.